Welcome back to the Desert Springs Church Podcast. It exists to supplement the ministry and growth of the body here at Desert Springs Church. My name is Drew, and I'm here with a special guest today to talk about a unique topic for this time of year, as we're coming up to the end of 2023. That means January's coming, and for a lot of individuals, January is it's an opportunity to take inventory, reevaluate your life, your choices. And in particular, we're going to talk about diet and exercise and nutrition and how a Christian should think about that. So to do that on this podcast, that means we have Jen Bryant. So Jen, thanks for taking the time to come on again.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
We were talking before that we did a podcast, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 2020.
And you and I could, between the two of us, could remember a little bit of that. So we're gonna revisit some of those things, maybe a little bit of overlap, but really try to focus on this idea of nutrition and habits and self-control and what the Bible has to say about what we think and do with our physical bodies, mm-hmm. and specifically pertaining to food. So Jen, you are a dietitian.
Yes.
And you work helping people and teaching and training. You've written on this. You talk about this a lot, so appreciate having you on. First, tell the podcast audience about your family and about your work in the nutrition industry, how long you've been doing that, how long you've been a member at Desert Springs Church.
I think I've been a member now for 19 years.
19. Okay.
Yeah.
So you came just after Ryan Kelly.
Yes. Yes. Came, remember he was fairly new when Adam and I joined Desert Springs. So that would have been probably either late 2004 or early 2005.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. So my husband, Adam, and then we have two kids. Joshua is 13 and Claire is 10. She just turned 10.
Awesome.
So I have to remember that.
13 and 10.
I am mom, but I also run my own business where I do nutrition counseling, and I love to focus on faith-based nutrition counseling because I think it should influence every area of our lives. And that includes nutrition and how we take care of our bodies.
Could you give me a sentence on what do you mean by faith-based nutrition?
Yeah, so I think it's simply changing the way we think about it. So rather than thinking in the same ways the world thinks about nutrition, which is generally based on how we look, right? Or what we weigh.
The results.
I encourage people to think about, okay, well, what does the Lord actually call us to do? He calls us to actually take care of our bodies. Mm-hmm. And so what does that mean?
Yeah.
And of course, that's where a lot of my training comes in, right? With my nutrition background, I have a master's in nutrition, all of that. And so I like to say science tells us the what to do, but the Bible tells us the how. Mm-hmm. So what are our attitudes around how we do that? And also the why.
Yeah.
Why do we do that? Why are we motivated to take care of our bodies?
Right. There's theological underpinnings to all of that.
Exactly.
That God, we're made in God's image, that our bodies matter, and that, they're a temple for the Holy Spirit if you're a believer. So there's implications there, and theological foundations for even taking the time to be considerate of how we treat our bodies.
Yeah.
And
I think, this discussion, I'm sure we'll go there, but I think what tends to happen is we are either hyper-focused on it, and we almost to maybe the point of obsession sometimes, depending on what we're getting into.
Idolatry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or we're apathetic about it.
Yeah.
And there tends to be no in between.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I really help people do is find a balance there. Find an in between, find that gray area, something that they can truly do for life that really works for them and that helps them take care of their body.
It seems like that's the case in so many things.
It is.
It's either an obsession or we don't care about it at all.
Exactly.
We just, as humans, we don't seem to be very good at balance.
We aren't.
And so balance, moderation in all things, so a good, healthy balance. And when it comes to our bodies are so important because, as we talked about, the image of God and temple of the Holy Spirit, but also this is how we live and work and move and serve and care for others. So if we can't stay healthy, we can't really help and serve the church, our neighbors, our society,
exactly,
the way that we should.
Yeah.
So it's something that I think we should care about, but you're absolutely right. So we mentioned it's January's here, and so a lot of people are thinking New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And we could talk a lot about New Year's resolutions, just what they are, if Christians should do them, can do them, and what's a wise way to think about that. But let's just assume people are going to do that.
Right.
People are going to make New Year's resolutions. And for you, you're interacting with a lot of people who are making dietary resolutions, right, about
right.
their nutrition. So what are some common resolutions that you find people making?
Yeah, I think the most common one is weight loss. People,
just a number on the scale.
Yeah,
I want to go down.
Exactly. And so that one's really interesting because a lot of times people will say, I'm going to lose weight this year. Like, I'm going to weigh less than what I did last year.
Okay.
But then they don't take the time to really think about what does that look like for them and how are they going to do that. So,
okay.
You know, so I don't think that that's necessarily a bad motivation.
Mm-hmm.
If weight loss would improve the way that you take care of your body, then that's
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually usually steer people away from having that specific goal in general, because sometimes, again, we can go to the extreme where we're trying to lose weight so much that we become obsessed with it. And it can actually go to the extreme where we're not really taking care of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to remember that underlying goal of the Lord gave us these bodies. They're gifts to us. We
mm-hmm.
need to take care of them.
Yeah.
And so that goal of weight loss may or may not fit in that.
Right. And the weight loss, it's an easy one to look at. You can point at it. You can point at the scale and say, yeah, I went down or I went up this week or
right.
today. But not all weight is the same. Not all.
100%.
You could actually gain weight and be healthier.
Exactly.
When you consider the makeup of muscle and fat and all those different things. I find that one to be a little bit too simplistic when it comes to overall health.
Right. And so I think too, piggybacking off of that, you made a good point. People really do like a way to measure their progress.
Yeah, we want to see progress.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think we can think about that a little bit differently. Going back to some of the stuff we talked about at the beginning, like what's our goal in taking
mm-hmm.
care of our bodies? Well, it's to serve the Lord,
yeah.
right? So thinking about in what ways would taking care of my body help me better serve the Lord?
Yeah.
Maybe it's, being able to play with your kids.
Yeah.
Maybe it's having stamina to, do something else that you want to do with your family or with your church family or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I think we can measure energy levels.
Mm-hmm.
We can measure mood.
Yeah.
There are so many things that relate to how we take care of our body that really don't have anything to do with what we weigh.
Yeah. So there are other measurements. There are other markers for good health that we can consider other than just numbers on a scale.
Right. And in fact, sometimes what we need to do is when we find something that we feel is controlling us, that is actually a sign that it's become an idol.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times what really works, and you could say this with so many things, sugar is
another about coffee.
Common one.
Can we
coffee.
Can we have an episode
that's
about
a great
coffee?
One. But, sometimes it's important to take that thing away for a time so that we can renew our right worship of the Lord.
Yeah. Even the way we're thinking about it, feeling about a thing. Paul talks about not being a slave to anything.
Exactly.
I think about that a lot.
Yes.
Even when I was really, really disciplined with my diet, it was, I was like, am I a slave to this? Is this controlling
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm.
Or is Christ compelling me to, and love for Christ and love for my neighbor
right.
compelling me to do this? And often it wasn't. It was a
right.
love of self. It was a self-love.
Yeah.
Boy, we could talk about that.
Yes.
And as far as health industry,
right.
this message of self-love. When the message of Christianity is self-sacrifice.
Exactly.
And so I think sacrifice could be a better word,
mm-hmm.
that we restrict ourselves, that we sacrifice things like food or certain activities or certain beverages, because we know that it will produce a good. It will produce a good in us to restrict ourselves. That's a very Christian thing to do.
Yeah.
To restrict ourselves for the good of others.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and actually this leads right into, we could have a short conversation on self-control here. The definition of self-control is to control oneself for the good of the body.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is you're dying to yourself and saying no to something that you want to say, I know that's not good for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose, you know, something different or the opposite, or I'm going to say no to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Now, I'm sure we'll talk more about self-control. Let's talk about motivations. So I think you've touched on this already, but what are common motivations for people coming into January 1? The change of the calendar, you know, you're flipping over to 2024, that can be motivating in and of itself. It's just, that's really interesting to me that we care about just which month it is.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to make all these changes. But it's kind of how we're built, yeah. Right? God's made us creatures of habit and creatures of cycles and seasons and, right. And times. There's a time for everything,
right?
In Ecclesiastes. But this time of year, what are the motivations you're seeing for people to make these habits?
Yeah, I think this is a good place for believers to be a little bit discerning, right? Because what we're getting, especially toward the end of the year and early in January, is we're getting tons of messages from worldly sources of what we should do. And a lot of it is revolving around weight loss. Some of it is, you know, promoting certain diets or something related to that. And so we just want to be really careful, you know, I think a good question to think about is this thing that I want to do or pursue, is that actually going to bring me closer to God?
Mm. Yeah.
And so we can really think about that from, you know, from a biblical perspective. If it's not, then of course the answer is no, we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
If it is, then I think what we can think about is, you know, probably that change, and sometimes changing habits is very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Probably that change is helping us with our ultimate goal of serving the Lord and taking care of our earthly bodies, right? So we need to think about all things, but including nutrition habits or weight loss from a biblical lens. Is this something that would please the Lord?
Yeah. Yeah. Whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Whether
you
don't eat or don't drink, do that to the the glory of God. So these decisions to make changes in your life and health and rhythms of eating and exercise should be motivated for glory of God and the good of others.
And your verse you just quoted is 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Yeah.
And 1 Corinthians has quite a lot to say about the body and taking care of the body. The context is a little bit different because the Corinthians were not struggling necessarily with, you know, overeating or eating too much processed food or whatever it
is. That wasn't the specific issues that Paul was taking with
them.
Exactly.
Yeah. But a lot of the concepts apply tremendously. You know, what they were saying was, you know, that our physical bodies don't matter. It's our spiritual body that the Lord cares about. And that's not exactly true. No. So we want to remember that the Lord wants us to take care of both. Yeah.
Body and soul.
Exactly.
I heard somebody say one time that we're body and soul. Our body and soul are close neighbors.
Exactly.
And that one affects the other.
Exactly.
And we know that to be true. I think if you've been a Christian for any amount of time. Let's talk about the idea of guilt. And guilt, there's all kinds of guilt or shaming or the opposite of it, like where the world says you shouldn't feel any guilt or should never feel ashamed about anything.
Right.
So how does a Christian to think about guilt, like if they're feeling guilty? You talked about coming through a holiday season. There's a lot of holiday parties. There's a lot of Christmas cookies. We tend to maybe overindulge this season in our diets and don't really care because we're visiting family, you're traveling, right?
Right.
So a lot of reasons that could go into a lax in diet this time of year. And then so January 1, it's like, okay, diet starts tomorrow because you feel bad.
Right.
Like physically feel bad.
Right, exactly.
But you're maybe wondering, is that just all the cookies that I ate?
Yeah.
Grandma's cookies? Or is that guilt?
Right.
And what do I do with that?
Such a good question. So I think, again, looking at it from a biblical perspective, why do we feel guilt? What is that? That's often the Holy Spirit pricking us, saying, hey, we need to change something, right?
Your conscience even,
Exactly.
That's a gift from the Lord.
Exactly.
That is motivated and moved by the Holy Spirit to say, something's off here.
Right.
This isn't right.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, but let's take a step back because I think what happens is diet culture severely influences what we think of as right and wrong in terms of what we eat.
What do you mean by diet culture?
So all of the fad diets, for example. Okay.
Don't get me started.
So let's just take like keto, for example.
Ugh.
It would say that eating carbohydrates is bad, or you could think of it as a believer as sinful. Well, it doesn't actually say that in the Bible. Mm. So the question then would be, is it actually appropriate for us to feel guilt about that?
It says bread alone.
Exactly.
Not about bread alone.
Jesus ate a lot of bread, yes. You know?
Yes.
So I think we have to take a step back and think about, okay, are the things I'm doing, are they actually sinful or not? And so I think sometimes that feeling of guilt can be false because we think about it sometimes in terms of what the diet culture tells us we should be doing or what the world tells us that we should be doing. And it's not necessarily sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to sort through, are the food rules that we have for ourselves, are they helpful or are they not helpful?
Yeah.
And when we break them, is it actually sinful?
Yeah. Is it a better, best, or a right, wrong thing? And I think in this conversation, a lot of what we're talking about is a better, best.
Exactly.
Areas of wisdom and prudence, and each individual needs to make that decision for themselves before the Lord.
Exactly.
With a clear conscience before the Lord. This is Romans 14 and 15 kind of stuff, whether you eat meat or not eat meat or observe festivals or not.
Yes.
So Christians can defer to one another. So so based on my reaction, you can tell what I think about fad diets.
Yeah.
I don't like them simply because they are designed to fail.
Right.
They're
right.
designed to end.
Right.
They're temporary. They're not really long lasting. I know a lot of people can have success. There are exceptions to all of these rules, but I find most people get really frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a little bit of success with a fad diet, but then it ends, and then they just go right back or even worse shape than before.
Exactly.
So when you think about diet, I think the word diet just comes from you tell me, the word diet, isn't it like it doesn't have roots, like Greek roots for just life?
It's Greek. Yeah, it's a way of eating.
It's just
that's
the way.
That's all it is.
I think way of life.
Yes.
Way of eating.
Yep.
Your diet is what you eat.
Right. Right.
And so we're all dieting all the time.
Right.
These fad diets can help you reevaluate, be more intentional, be more focused on what you're eating, even when you're eating, if you're thinking about intermittent fasting and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of that can be good, but a lot of times we put too much hope in this particular form of eating or time frame of eating.
Yes.
And we're not playing the long game.
Exactly.
Is that fair?
Yeah. And I think what we need to think about is this set of rules, whatever diet you decide, is it too restrictive? Is it something I could do all year? Or is it too restrictive? And so most of the time it's too restrictive. People, you know, go in kind of gung-ho. They say, oh, yeah, I can do this, no problem.
And then drinking bone broth all day.
Which is not necessarily bad, but yeah.
It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable, right? And so I think we need to be careful with that. We need to think about changing our way of life, making something a habit. So I'll give you a good example. I've been talking with a lot of my clients lately about vegetables, okay?
Mm.
So we'll start with, I don't just go in right away saying you need to eat 5 cups of vegetables a day, right? What I start with is, what are you doing now, okay? And then let's increase it a little bit. Let's work on getting a little bit better. Let's work on improvement rather than perfection.
Yeah. I really don't like where this podcast is going, Jen.
I'm going to make you eat some vegetables.
I don't like vegetables.
I eat them
out of because I have self-control and I'm disciplined.
And you know they're good for your body,
occasionally,
right?
people that know me are shaking their head as they listen to this. I like what you're saying, though. Make small.
Yes.
Sustainable.
Exactly.
Long term.
Exactly. And I think
taper on, taper off kind of thing.
The word of my year, I think, is consistency.
Yeah.
That's been coming up a lot in conversations with people. And so I think a good question would be, can I keep it consistent?
Yeah. Which that applies to any discipline that any human being has. And as Christians, we talk about spiritual disciplines a lot. We're in a spiritual disciplines class right now in our equipping classes that has been great, talking about Bible reading and prayer and fellowship. So how do you think about the word discipline? 'Cause when you say consistency, I think discipline, that's the idea of us disciplining ourselves, being consistent in the word and in deed and in practice, because it's something good that we know will produce growth,
right,
will produce Christ's likeness, will produce health and love and all of those things. So
all the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think about discipline when and consistency?
I love the way Alex talked about it in one of the first spiritual disciplines classes. He used Hebrews 12, verse 11.
Yeah.
Which says, all discipline is painful for the moment, but later on it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those trained by it. And I love that verse because it's true. When we make a change in something we do with our physical body, whether it be nutrition, physical movement, whatever, getting up early, getting rid of coffee, which I won't make you do that, Drew.
Okay.
It is painful at first. That change is hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make that change. But then later on, you see the benefits. Mm-hmm. You see the physical benefits. Yeah. You see the spiritual benefits.
Yeah.
A lot of times you see the emotional or mental benefits.
Yeah.
So there's so many things to be said about using that self-control and discipline for a time, and then later seeing the balance of it. And actually, I like to put in the fruit of the Spirit here of patience.
Yeah.
Because that's something that a lot of people don't think about when they think about New Year's resolutions.
Right.
We have to be patient with it. We're not going to see a result.
You want results immediately.
Right away. Yeah. And so we have to kind of push aside that urge of instant gratification, and we have to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah. That's so good. What about for those that they stay faithful for a time, but then they fall off the wagon. So we've talked about guilt a little bit, but also just this idea of recovery or you know, after they've had a cheat meal and they're feeling bad about it. How do you encourage people to just pick it back up and keep going?
Yeah.
Or what's your word for them?
So I, a lot of times I think it actually starts before that, right? And I really hate the word cheat because cheating implies that you did something wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Which is not necessarily true.
Okay.
You know, when it talks to you, kind of going back to your conversation of the better best choice, right? It's not necessarily wrong
to eat a cheeseburger. Yeah.
But,
if you're
but that
dieting.
Being said, we're so prone to saying, oh, I'm going to start again on Monday or I'm going to start in January, you know, and that's not helpful. So I always tell people, ask yourself, what's the next thing I can do to take care of my body?
Mm-hmm.
So that might be maybe planning meals for the week. That might be going for a walk. That might be, you know, eating a salad for lunch, whatever it is. Don't wait to like think about, and actually even now in this holiday season on all the cookies, I think about, did I eat something with that meal or snack that actually nourished my body?
Yeah.
And so I always try to have something. It might be little, but that's okay. But that's a really good way to kind of find that balance.
Oh, that's really good. You talked about this early, but let's explore more about what it means for Christians to think about health and nutrition differently from the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the world talks about it from a self-image, self-love perspective. We have this ideal just shoved down our throat of what the ideal body, weight, BMI, all those things, right?
I hate the BMI.
Right. And some of those things can be useful metrics, I guess. But right, we have the world is quick to tell us what we should look like, feel like, sound like, all of that.
Yeah.
So how should Christians be different?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of things that we can apply here. I think specifically of the fruits of the Spirit. And actually, I learned this week, one of my clients taught me this. It's actually fruit of the Spirit.
It's singular.
It is singular.
It's like they all go together.
I'm going to have to think about that a little more, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's significant.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think about that list.
Yeah.
And why don't we, when we're looking at health and nutrition, let's filter everything through the lens of, am I exhibiting these fruits of the Spirit when I am doing, you know, X, Y, or Z?
Mm-hmm.
So am I being kind to myself and to others? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people really beat themselves up over not following a certain, you know, set of guidelines or whatever it is. We don't need to do that. The Lord calls us to be kind to ourselves, to others. Are we judging others for what they're doing or not doing? Are we using our self-control? Are we being patient? Are we being faithful? Are we being joyful? Are we finding joy in making healthy decisions with our bodies.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we think of those New Year's changes as being, you know, really hard and not fun and mm-hmm. sort of dreadful.
A grind.
Yeah. And the Lord really calls us to be joyful about it. And so I think adopting some of those mindsets can really help get us out of some of the worldly thinking. Mm-hmm. And then again, going back to that, saying no to instant gratification.
Yeah.
You know, if something promises a quick fix, that's probably not something that's going to be sustainable or consistent
right.
for you.
Right. Yeah. There's the balance between it's feeling like a grind, but also Hebrews 12 that you mentioned, where peaceful fruit of righteousness will come.
Exactly.
For those that are trained by it, it's not pleasant in the moment. So we do things, we restrict ourselves, we sacrifice things, and it may be unpleasant
exactly.
in the moment, but all discipline. Can be unpleasant, but we're looking for that fruit.
Mm-hmm.
We have a greater hope and a greater goal that we're shooting for.
Yeah.
And that's Christ's likeness. That's the fruit of the Spirit, and not just a number on the scale or an inch on the waistline. Those can be part of it, but we need, as Christians, we should always have kind of a bigger picture
exactly.
when it comes to our bodies and
yep.
health. And then even an eschatological one of knowing that we're going to have these perfect bodies in heaven forever and ever together someday. So even having that hope out in front of us mm-hmm. should lead us to not despair
mm-hmm.
and not be apathetic,
mm-hmm.
but actually, yeah, take care and
right.
take up the work and strengthen your hands for the work.
I'll say
it's one, good and it's worth it.
One other thing, Drew, that I think is important to mention. I think with all of this conversation and with what the world tells us, we have this sense that we can control everything about our health.
Mm.
And so I think as Christians, the other big piece of this is we have to realize that we can do all the right things in taking care of our body, and sometimes disease still happens.
Right.
And it's not necessarily your fault.
Right.
So just remembering that the Lord is sovereign.
And we live in a fallen world.
Exactly.
And these bodies are wasting away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we need to keep that proper perspective.
That's good. Yeah.
As we seek to make these changes and yeah. take care of our bodies.
That's good. That's really good. I want to talk about social media to end here.
Yes.
So I see a lot on social media that I should eat eggs or I shouldn't eat eggs or I should drink milk or not drink milk or,
right.
you know, rice is going to kill me. Right? So there's all these gurus, and we are inundated with mm-hmm. voices mm-hmm. and opinions and even quote-unquote expert mm-hmm. opinions on various podcasts and social media platforms. How do you filter through all of that?
Yeah,
how do you help us discern
yeah.
who to listen to and how to process that?
There's a couple of things that I tell people to kind of watch out for. Number one, if they're not seeking a balanced perspective. So if there are hard and fast rules about certain foods, that's a red flag. Okay. That doesn't necessarily mean everything that person is saying is false, but I think it gives a clue to the fact that this is not a balanced perspective,
yeah.
right? And, you know, of course, if you're allergic to something or if
yeah.
you have, you know, I do think, like, for example, gluten sensitivity is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, yes, you should avoid that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't eat the thing that makes you sick. But if we're missing that balanced perspective, I think that's a red flag.
Oh, that's good.
Also, if you're following someone and they're making you lean too much toward that idolatry mindset that we were talking about earlier, that's not healthy, right? So
yeah.
maybe we want to say, okay, I probably shouldn't follow this person anymore. If their influence is causing you to be, you know, tossed to and fro like the mm-hmm. waves, then that's probably not good for you.
Yeah.
So again, we're kind of looking for that balance and that consistency. And those are really good characteristics to look for in influencers or people that
yeah.
you're following. The other thing I'll say about that is most of those recommendations that seem like they're opposite, like the eggs thing mm-hmm. or the coffee thing or the salt thing or
yep,
whatever.
Yep.
The reason is because there's usually some mixed research about it. So what that means is there are some people that do really well with eggs, and then there are some people who really should limit them. And it's because all of our bodies are different, right? Which,
yes.
praise God, how boring would the world yeah. be if we all look the same,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So again, we're kind of thinking about listening to our bodies. Like, do you feel well when you eat eggs for breakfast? If you don't, don't eat them, right? Mm. So we can kind of go back to basics with some of these things. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I will say is there is some genetic testing available that actually can give you some of those answers, right? Yep. And so that can be helpful too. So that's, again, where we can kind of put in some of the science.
Yeah. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Genetics, that's something we don't talk about a lot because people don't, particularly in the diet culture and the world, don't want to talk about something that you don't have any control over. Mm-hmm. So genetics is something you don't, something that's just how God made us. And that's something we don't consider when you hear about all these exercise programs and diets that are one size fits all.
Right.
And it's like, that might work great for them.
Exactly.
But that's them.
That's another red flag, right? If somebody says this works for everyone, that's a red flag.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of those absolute statements or, as you were talking about it, I was thinking of Philippians 4 and how Christians should let their reasonableness be made known to all. The Lord is at hand. Mm-hmm. Like, we should be reasonable people.
Yes.
And a lot of these online influencers just don't seem very reasonable to me. Yeah. They're not balanced. They are very extreme. They make these absolutist claims that sound good and sound like, oh, if I tried that, if I really like gave my, if I was all in on whatever it is, if I, stopped eating oats, just you'd clear all my problems and I'd be happy. So we should be reasonable. And another thing I keep thinking of, even as you and I are sitting here talking, Jen, is this, the body of Christ is given to us to help us support and grow and learn. But how often do we go for outside sources for help with these kinds of things when, like, you're a dietitian, you're a member of our church. You have members in our church that could help you and talk to you about these things. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to say is we do this in community.
Right.
We don't do this in a vacuum and in isolation. Mm-hmm. I love to go to the gym and lift weights, and I don't like lifting weights by myself. I like in community. Right. I like going with others and working out together. There's just some camaraderie there. There's accountability, also some safety at times. Mm-hmm. But also, it's just I think it's just how we're designed. And so often we try to make these personal, make it maybe a little too personal and too private, these health decisions.
Totally agree.
And I think we should be a little more open and vulnerable as Christians to just say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I don't know what to eat or I feel bad all the time. I'm not sleeping well. Talk to your doctor. Talk to people that you know. But also just don't isolate yourself with these issues.
Right. No, yeah. I think that's really good. And I think food tends to be one of those things that we don't talk about because of maybe some of the guilt or shame that's associated with it. So I think, let's be vulnerable about things like that. And also, let's not be judgmental, right? Because what tends to happen is we think that whatever we're doing is the best for everyone, right? And that's not true.
Right.
Everyone's different. Everyone's body is different. So we need to approach it with an attitude of humility and respect.
Yeah, especially within the church. As you see parents maybe parenting their kids a little different with in terms of diet and exercise, and we can, we can be very judgmental. We're not talking about the gospel. We're not talking about the deity of Christ here. We're talking about our diet and our bodies. It's important, but we need to have that perspective, like you've said over and over.
We can have different opinions. It's okay.
Oh, amen. That's great. Well, that's a great way to end it. Jen, thank you so much. Where could people find you and find more resources about this if they're interested in more?
So I'm on Instagram, Jen Bryant, NNC. That stands for Nourished Nutrition Counseling. On Instagram. I do also have a private Facebook group where we do a lot of, I share a lot of free resources. We do a lot of more community type things like you were just talking about.
Okay.
So people can find me there.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll have you send that to me and then I'll ask Matt Danner how to put that in the show notes so people can find more from you. But also, you're here at the church, you're serving, you help lead in the women's ministry.
That's right.
So people, they can get to know you.
I'm here.
They can find you.
I'm here a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, that's wonderful. Thanks again. And if you guys have any questions about this or any further podcast episodes that you think we should do, you can reach out to me, drew@dscabq.com. But that's all for now. So let's keep spreading God's glory broader and deeper with our bodies, with our choices, with our food and exercise and diet, all for His glory and for our good and the good of those that are in our lives. Amen.